This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan shot today.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Yeah, buddy, it's hour two. G-Bag Nation here, 105.3 The Fan. We are live at Shell Shack in Arlington. And everybody that enters these premises during today's show will be entered to win a dinner for four, valued at up to $100. So we'd love to see you on out here. Okay, 4 hours to go. Salute to Brian and Wolchuk and Jeremy there on the post-game show last night. If you missed it, they win G-Bag of the Day with 79% of the vote. Dominated the high school call, as much fun as that was to listen to Corpus Christi get that dub last play of the game. It's time now, though, for the NFL News of the Day, and here's Zach Wolchuk.
Well, it was a historical game yesterday as the Cowboys made history. They became the first team in league history to have two kickoff return for touchdowns in the fourth quarter of a game, and both returns happening in the final 3 minutes. I mean, it was unreal. 99 yards, Kevontae Turpin with that spin move, which was beautiful to watch as he picks up the ball at the one, takes it all the way. And then Wanya Thomas with the kick, the onside kick that he takes 43 yards. Maybe, hey, next time you just go down, it's all right. But when you make history and you still win the game, it's okay by me.
I think when you have five giant dudes chasing you, it's okay to just go all the
just
way
go
in.
Score.
I'm thinking, should I slide here? I might get run over.
Right. When are you getting this opportunity again?
Yeah, I got to get the house,
go ahead
too.
And get in the end zone.
Yeah, we got to be able to hold an eight-point lead with 30 seconds to go. Right?
And as they launch it and goes 87 yards. Mm.
It was crazy.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sitting there and – I don't think I was yelling, get down, but
no,
neither of us were. I was just kind of like, please don't do anything stupid, you know, and he says, hey, you know me, I'm an excitable, I get excited, I wanted to score, that kind of thing, but yeah, I mean, the way that Cowboys played defense at the end of that game, and it just,
yeah,
it was,
anything was possible.
Really, and offense,
anything.
The ball going down the field, that was so fun, let's do that again.
It was fun.
Anything's possible. Yeah.
I think if I was Wanya, I'd have been like, relax, guys. I'm not wearing number 60. Okay, I know what to do with this thing.
Okay.
Was Randall Williams the last one you saw do that?
Yes, against the Eagles.
Against the Eagles, yeah.
Absolutely.
Been a while.
That one comes to mind. I was actually talking with Bobby after their show, like, what other crazy Cowboy endings?
Oh, no, he hit me on the way here.
Because I think he's trying to do an article. I mean, obviously the Buffalo game.
I gave him four other ones, yeah.
There was, I think it was 05, Roy Williams had a pick six against the Eagles in a primetime game that came out of nowhere. They ripped victory out of the jaws of defeat. Obviously, the watermelon kick. Carolina game when you were there, I believe it was Joey Galloway caught a bomb.
And
Antonio Bryant
had 100 yards of offense, basically.
That was it.
And then they win the game. I told him about the 98 Philly-Dallas game where Philly was kicking a 28-yard field goal, and Tommy Hutton dropped the snap. Deion Sanders actually made the tackle that saved the game.
Wow.
From it being a score. So, yeah.
There's been some crazy ones. I mean, Seattle, that Keyshawn Johnson in the back of the end zone. Julius Jones was running wild that game. That was a Sunday nighter as well, like the forearm touchdown out of bounds. There were some crazy games, but that one, without a doubt, one of the most bizarre you'll ever see.
How about Dan Quinn? You know, he was part of the watermelon game, and now he gets a part of this one. Like, you talk about crazy, like,
yeah, some bad, like being on the wrong end of
being on the wrong end of two of them.
Of course, 28-3 in the Super Bowl, that one will never be forgotten.
First Cowboys game I went to, 2010, was actually in Washington. Alex Barinholt, final play of the game.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
That's
yes.
right.
Romo throws it in the end zone. Touchdown. We're like, no way.
I'm jumping up and down. Yeah. They've won the game. There's a flag in Alex Barron's held. And it was a bad hold.
My very first game working with the Cowboys was the Rocket Ismail 99.
Oh, beautiful.
And where he caught the ball down from Troy Aikman down the middle of the field. So, yeah.
We did have a scary moment with Austin Eckler at the end of that game.
Ooh,
he ended up going to the hospital afterwards. Yeah, he had a concussion.
Looked like he was KO'd.
I think he was.
Like he was face down. It was Damone Clark, right? That just it didn't even look like the hugest hit you've ever seen, but it got him right
caught
in the
dome. Caught him pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, it was he was hospitalized out of an abundance of caution. I think he's okay now, but goodness gracious, that was not the way that you want to ever see a game like that. And last night in the NFC East, Saquon Barkley, record 255 yards in a win against the Rams. This dude is just taking over football games. He did it against the Commanders to win. He did it last night against the Rams.
That was my biggest fear.
He's been brilliant. He became just the 12th player in NFL history with 300-plus scrimmage yards in a game. He's put himself in the MVP conversation right now. But, yeah, I mean, everything that we talked about, like could he end up coming in and now you've got a Christian McCaffrey. Like,
that's what I thought.
Year one.
Yeah.
That is starting to happen. And when Jalen Hurts is not turning the football over and you also have a monster in A.J. Brown.
He's helping them not turn the ball over. They just keep giving it to him or throwing it to
him. And defensively, the pass rush is starting to look a lot better.
The defense is real right now.
And those two young rookies are good, and DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell. So the secondary is much better than it was a year ago. Philadelphia is looking like, okay, they could be a threat right now.
Losing Brandon Graham is a bummer.
That's a huge loss.
Yep.
He said afterwards, I'm out for the season. It was actually kind of a weird exchange with the media. Like they come over, they're talking to him. He's like, yeah, I'm done for the season. They're like, wait a second, you kidding, right? He's like, no.
Bicep.
Torn triceps.
Tricep, yeah.
Yeah, torn triceps.
Know, as much as people don't want to see the Eagles win the Super Bowl, I get it. And if Saquon takes them there, then it'll be like... But I just feel like by the time the Cowboys are contenders again, Saquon Barkley's going to be, you know, well past his prime. I think this is maybe his last season of dominance. Maybe he has one more. But, you know, 27 years old with all the injuries, the announcers were saying it last night. He's at the stage of his career where they're saying he's still getting it done, you know. And it's only year six, but that's a long time. You know, especially with that amount of injuries, and I am super impressed with him. But if I'm Eagles fan right now, I'm thinking we have to ride him into the playoffs. I would not bet on him being healthy when we get there. You know, it's just from his history. So I get it, but I still would not want my team to take a risk on a player like that, especially, you know, with his injury history.
Now the Giants. I mean, if there's one team that does look like maybe they are in it for the tank, it would be the Giants. But their players certainly don't want to be a part of this. You had Dexter Lawrence, who called him soft after the game.
Whoa.
Then here was Malik Nabers, the rookie wide receiver, who was getting a gajillion targets in the beginning of the season. Yep. Yesterday, not so much. Here were his thoughts post-game.
What words today would you use to describe this loss?
Selfish.
How disappointed are you?
Very.
What are you most disappointed about?
I mean... Solve it, man. I'm tired of going out there and losing. Like, it's just that. I mean, I don't know, bro.
And he went on to say it's not the quarterback. You know, same problems were going on as was going down with Daniel Jones. But a lot of the players in that locker room had a lot of not nice things to say regarding Daboll and the staff.
You know, and that's the difference, I think, between Daboll and McCarthy. The Cowboys continue to play for McCarthy. They have given up on Daboll. And the only thing that could save the Giants now is if that moment yesterday creates some sort of a conversation, right, where they can get the air cleared and then come back with a renewed energy. I think that'll happen for them at some point in what's left of the regular season. It's just hard to predict when that happens. So at this point, I'm thinking Cowboys get another win. Probably going to be ugly. But, yeah, I think that's what we're heading for is this Giants team is in complete, I don't know if that's called trauma or chaos, but it's bad.
Yeah, it is bad, and it's tough to have the players continue to fight and play when you can clearly see with the way they've gone about the quarterback position, like the team is not in it to win.
Yeah.
They're benching Daniel Jones for financial reasons. They're not going to the backup Drew Lock. The whole time, this whole season since the springtime, Drew Lock has been your number two quarterback, and then all of a sudden you're going to skip him for financial reasons and just go with Cutlets. And we on this show, we love Tommy DeVito, but these guys – know that the organization is throwing in the towel. So yeah. that's a tough spot to be in.
And it's genius. That's how you want your front office and coaching staff to operate. You know, I think the Giants are doing it right. I think that is one of the reasons, although it's nuanced, why they've won multiple Super Bowls since the Cowboys won their last one. So, you know, you love to see it, you know, when your team acknowledges it. There is a downside to it. But you got to go to your players and say, listen, we're terrible. We're trying to get good, you know. Deal with it. Suck it up. You know, be better. How about this? Be better. I know you're a wide receiver, but we wouldn't do this if we were winning games, guys. So we're trying to get us closer to winning long term. Love the passion, Malik. Love it. I don't even care that he said that last night. I'm like, this is exactly what we need. Guys who are extremely bothered when we play bad. We're gonna get it turned around.
For yeah. Sure.
But you just gotta go have that conversation with them. Let's stay the course, and when it's time to go for it, trust us, we will. But right now, we want an elite player. As elite as possible.
Yeah, you're trying to conserve Malik Nabers' happiness as well. It's a guy you want to build around. Just feed him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like if he had 10 catches for 95 yards yesterday, he probably wouldn't be as ticked off.
And Daboll owned that today. He's like, you know, passionate player. I love hearing that kind of stuff. I need to do a better job getting him the ball.
Well, Tommy Cutlets did get hurt during the game yesterday. He left in the fourth quarter. Daboll said today that they're hopeful that DeVito can play Thursday against the Cowboys. I guess if he can, that would mean that they have no choice but to play Drew Lock.
Sure.
Bring back DJ.
I kind of thought they would play Drew Lock anyway, just to try and get Nabers the ball.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's definitely a better route to go, but yeah. We'll see what they decide to do.
But what if the plan is to not get him the ball?
They just want to take
him off. What if things went exactly as planned? Don't throw him the ball. We could win that way, guys.
Don't throw him the football.
Wait until the fourth quarter and then try to get him a score.
Now, Baker had a rushing touchdown. He was one of, I think, four different Bucks to score a rushing touchdown yesterday. Pretty incredible. Baker then does the Tommy DeVito touchdown dance, which is very Italiano. And afterwards, he gets grilled by the media. Here was Baker in that exchange.
Finished that off with a kind of a whirling derby leap there in the end zone. And then I guess it was the DeVito celebration. Is that
tribute. Tribute to Tommy, yeah. Tribute. He's a good dude. He's got swag.
Yeah, who came up with that?
Oh, I have no idea. I just see him do it.
No, but whose idea was it for you to do that? And when did you know you were going to do it?
Most of the times I don't know what I'm going to do. So there's spontaneous stuff.
That was just spontaneous? That was not planned? I mean, even your teammates got into it, too.
Yeah, you know, New York fans love Tommy here and give him something they like.
Are you Italian by any chance or no?
I haven't done a 23andMe, but I don't know.
I love that answer from Baker. Like, I haven't done a 23. I have no idea.
I'm Texan.
Like, geez, I think, man, we had some, like, was this disrespectful to Italians? If you're not Italian, you shouldn't be doing this. I felt like that was what the reporter was trying to get at here.
I'm not Jewish, and I love matzo ball soup.
It's okay.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
You're welcome, dude.
It's paying homage.
Yeah, I think everybody's been...
I love
been,
me some matzo ball
It's not any
soup.
More offensive than Mike Gesicki trying to do the gritty.
Yeah. It was fun. It was a fun moment.
You
Baker's
see when he does it with Chase? You see when he does it, though? Yeah, he's pretty good at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
oh, that's I mean,
his effort's there.
His effort's there.
Maybe better. Maybe a little bit better.
He's getting better
it's
at
tough
it
to be that long and lanky
yes,
and pull that off from like a coordinated
standpoint.
He's
getting better at it. Yeah, he's trying.
Those arms are long. They really are. Raiders, and this is a bummer for Raider Joe. They lost their quarterback, Gardner Minshew. He's got a broken collarbone. He's done ski for them, so they're going to Aiden O'Connell.
There you go. Well, no, but I mean, the tank is on there as well. You're trying to suck for Shadur, right? Isn't that the hashtag right now for these teams?
Yep, both the Giants and the Raiders. It's an all-out race there to try and get one of these quarterbacks. Although, if you ask Bobby, it won't be for Shadur. It'll be for anybody else.
Probably Quinn Ewers.
Maybe Quinn.
He loves him some Texas.
Maybe Cam Ward or somebody. Now, this was, speaking of Texas.
No, he likes Nuss. He likes the local
legend.
Oh, he does
like Nuss. Well, he's Marcus guy. Jatavion Sanders suffered a neck injury yesterday. This was a scary moment.
This
was. Ryan Zone, big Jatavion Sanders fan, got to cover him in high school. Great guy. But he gets carted off, actually had to go to the hospital afterwards. It was a bad injury. I think we got positive news from the Panthers earlier today that he's doing well. But, I mean, this is one of the – I mean, we talked about the Eckler thing at the end of it, but positive update regarding Sanders. He avoided serious injury. It is a neck injury. They are working through the evaluation of it, but he's in the building, or at least he was. So he's out of the hospital now and back with the team. But you hate to see that. So hopefully JT Sanders gets a speedy recovery. And then final news of note here for NFL News of the Day, Jets search for their new general manager. It's going to be Mike Tannenbaum and the 33rd team. They're going to help them out here. So their former GM, Mike Tannenbaum, and former Minnesota Vikings general manager, Rick Spielman, are going to help replace Joe Douglas and the new head coach there with Woody Johnson and the Jets.
Well, thank you, old Chuck. How much involvement does Brick have? Any reports on what Brick Johnson's doing? Maybe the Tannenbaum idea was...
I think that's who Mike's reporting to.
That's a good question.
That's right.
Apparently, Woody Johnson also landed that helicopter in the practice facility right before he fired Joe.
He went full Jerry.
I mean, I think that's the thing. Like, if you're landing your helicopters at the practice facility, it's a sign you're a bad team.
Yeah, I like that. Well, Chuck, thank you. Good note to end on. Here we are live at Shell Shack in Arlington. Come on by. You know, if you're getting off work here anytime soon, some delicious grilled shrimp.
Oh my gosh.
I had a plate. It was so good. Chief saw my reaction. He ordered a plate.
Oh, jeez, guys. Yeah.
We got our weigh-in tomorrow for the first ever G-Bag Nation weight loss competition.
Yeah.
And this might foil me at the finish line.
I don't know. You're all of a sudden minus 350 in the odds right now.
Okay, we got a C-Note coming up. Cowboys news of the evening is next on the Fan.
Yeah.
Welcome back. We're live at Shell Shack here in Arlington. It's a victorious Cowboys Monday, and time now for the C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening. It got cold today. It did. So if you're heading out, maybe think about a coat or a hat, something like that. Brian, is that funny to you?
Yeah, I'm wearing shorts.
Something funny over there, pal?
What?
Something funny to you, Brian?
Wow. Segment here brought to you by Soda. That's State of the Arts brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels and get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. We're now just 15 minutes away from Krusty's Corner. You got to look at the film.
Got to look at the film.
Right on. So many interesting takes coming out of this. The Cowboys closed as 10.5-point underdogs, according to ESPN Bet. Their largest upset win since 2010 when they defeated the Giants as a 13-point underdog. So historic in that way as well. That was a John Kitna game, if you remember, late 2010 after Romo broke his collarbone.
Ooh, that's right.
We thought maybe they lose out. I think they went 5-3 in the second half of the season that year.
Was that the Jason Garrett resurgence?
Oh, yes, Jason Garrett.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was 2008.
Yeah.
Oh, 2008 was the firing of Wade.
2010 was the firing of Wade.
It was 2010.
Okay,
yeah. It was 2010.
That's my bad. No, you're right. Jason Garrett took over and got the team on the right track. How much does yesterday's game change your end of season prediction for win total? That was a team that went 1-7, ended up playing winning football. I think that would be a stretch to think they go over 500 in these remaining games. But I mean, it's Giants, Bengals, Panthers. That could be a 4-game winning streak, guys.
Yeah. I think they lose 3 more.
Okay, they go 3-3 down the stretch here.
Yeah.
Buccaneers, Eagles, and Commanders. I would absolutely be tickled to death if they could sweep Washington and beat them in the final game of the season to eliminate them from playoff contention.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
That would be interesting.
That one is a lot of fun. And I did see Jerry's point about just trying to put on a show for the fans yesterday, because maybe you didn't know it, but getting a win after those losses and how miserable and pathetic that it got, it felt therapeutic.
Yeah.
So that was pretty awesome. A couple of questions here for you, Brian. I know we have Krusty's Corner coming up at 3:40. We're going to take a look at some headlines here in just a second. Would you guys have gone for 2 if you're Dan Quinn?
Yes.
Yes.
Even at home? Feel like you're the better team?
Yes. Well, and they'd been having success with Jaden Daniels
running the football.
They ran power
to the right,
yeah.
and Wanya Thomas took a terrible angle. You know, Parsons is all over him, like, bro, you got to set the edge. Like, inside, like, Golston's like, he set the edge. He's yelling at Thomas. I mean, they all got to do their job, and that allowed Micah as a free runner to get to. But he, you know, Wanya Thomas messed that thing up. Yeah, I would have absolutely gone for 2. Dallas is reeling. You just gave up an 87-yard shot.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about now you send your 2-point team on the field. Dallas is thinking like, oh, my gosh, what just happened?
We just blew this game.
Now you're lining up to run a 2-point play. They're probably not going to get the play in or the defensive call they need. Maybe not the right personnel. There's doubt there. I think the Commanders could have won the game right there.
And he'd missed one earlier. The special teams had been bad already in the game.
Yeah.
So I was stunned. I was thinking immediately, Dan Quinn, I wonder if he goes for 2 and wins the game here. And then it cuts to him, and he's got the 1.
Yeah.
So I think he blew that opportunity 100%.
Yep. I totally do.
Must have believed in his guys, you know, that they could go to overtime and win. But if you believe in him that much,
how could you
finish the game.
How could you believe in that kicker?
Yeah.
How could you believe that he was, I mean,
he did just hit a 50-yarder or whatever.
Yeah, and he also yanked two extra points.
No, I'm with you.
And he also had one short. Yeah, you know, to me, yeah, I have no confidence this guy is going to make an extra point. I really don't. I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, good snap, good hold, whoop, just yank that thing, mm-hmm. you know. So, yeah, I would have ended it right there. And I think he might have just the fact that Daniels with ball in hand from the 2-yard line would have been a nightmare for Dallas to have to deal with.
Speaking of yanks, I do feel like Brandon Aubrey's body posture on contact is a concern.
It's his plant foot.
Is that what's happening?
When his plant foot flips over and he hits it and his foot turns, it causes him to yank the ball.
His body this one is hit, doing all kinds of weird
it
stuff.
It hit flat, but it was pointed outside, which left his hips open.
So his heel kind of swung in?
He shoved the ball to the outside. Now
I'd expect better from a soccer player.
No, yeah, when we get in the that by the way, that kickoff to start the second half, what the hell are you thinking?
That was a what the hell,
dude.
What? I mean, he literally, his angle to the ball, it was like, you're like, what? It was almost like it was almost a goal kick, but with just such a poor angle that it just caused him to yank the ball. He never got it to the landing zone, and it went out of bounds. You give them the ball at the 40-yard line. Mm-hmm. That is Bones Fossil, you're doing too much. Too much. You're trying too much.
Joe Davis was hilarious on the call
kick
about
the ball.
It yesterday.
Just kick it down there.
Oh, the
cover.
Special team stuff.
He kept lamenting it. Just like, this is the worst special teams game I've ever seen in my whole life.
He
just
on both sides.
Call. I
couldn't imagine worse. Okay, Cowboys who shined in D.C. upset. We go to DallasCowboys.com. Let's talk about the game of CeeDee Lamb. And he had some history here as well. 4 receptions in 44 consecutive games.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Past Michael Thomas.
And I think he had 4 catches by like the second drive or whatever. I loved how it was just a focal point. Get mm-hmm. Lamb the ball, dude. And then you saw what different type of player you had the rest of the game.
Yeah.
He was not Mr. Sulky, whatever. And I know the game was in the balance like the whole time, so there wasn't a total reason to just hang your head,
play,
but still.
After the turnover.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't end up counting,
right,
because of the penalty, but then he chases it down, forces a fumble, you get the ball right back. I mean, that shouldn't go unnoticed, you know?
Mm-hmm. Things you want to take forward with you from this game, getting CeeDee involved early. Mm-hmm. You know, because he's attacking the football. You know, he's locked in.
That route that he ran to come back for the ball across the field was really impressive.
In a crowd?
Was really impressive. Yeah,
I mean, the cojones to throw that ball into that traffic, you know, he had to have a tremendous amount of trust.
I don't know about cojones. I don't think that. I mean, the ball, to me, they had no power on it at all.
It was,
Lamb had to
no
go
velocity.
Get, like, I don't know if St. Juice, the corner, is going to get the interception. But Lamb's like, not today, and he just cut that thing off.
That was terrific. And I think you take that and getting rid of the ball quicker is like things. And, well, third, going down the field the way they were. I mean, that was just, you know, hey, go figure. You start pushing it, and we get what it was, 25
Daniels,
points.
Daniels saved you time before half by going out of bounds. If you watch the sequence of play, and then they make the long pass to Brooks down.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas, I mean, if he just somehow stays in bounds or goes down and the clock continues to run, Dallas is not going to have enough time to get a field goal out of that.
Hopefully we'll get more Cooper Rush discussion here a little bit later on. How about Kevontae Turpin? His overall game, do we get a GPS number on that yet of how fast he was going?
Yeah, he was in the 21s. Which is still obviously incredible.
Three of the top 20 speeds are him.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I think he might have slowed it down a little bit at the end.
Yeah, he didn't need to go full burners like he did the other night versus Houston, but he is your fastest ball carrier. So it shouldn't be that much of a surprise that he was able to pull away like that. I was just surprised that his vision didn't lead him into somebody to tackle him at any point.
No, his vision is better. We've got LASIK.
I know, thank God.
Contacts now. Yeah.
But now the proof is in the pudding with it.
Yeah,
a little
bit, that matters.
You know what I mean? Because that should have been like his, third kickoff return of his career to this point?
Can we go back to San Francisco?
Just running in. Like, what are you doing?
But he didn't finish him for a while. I think he was getting too excited for the first year.
Yeah, get in a time machine, put some contacts on him against San Francisco in that divisional round game. Maybe he scores.
Wow, dude.
How different things could be.
I like that as a one wish, throwback wish, time machine wish.
How about Micah Parsons? If the Cowboys do consider trading him in the offseason, that would be a surprise.
It would be a surprise.
You get the fourth quarter sack, though.
Yeah.
Could have been a drive killer. Washington ends up scoring still. But
You know, the way that he is playing, I think, gives you a path back to respectability on defense. And if he can close strong over the next 6 weeks or so, maybe a 3 first-round pick offer could be on the table for a man of his age with that kind of ability.
Certainly better to boost up that trade value, unlike if they would have tried to flip him, which was like a 0% chance that they would have. But like at the deadline, you were selling a little bit low based on the way he had come out of the gates. But right now, he is... he's everything that you want him to be, disruptive as ever. He was all over the place in the run game as well. Like he was just, and the way they were moving him around, as you mentioned, Walchuk, where he qualified as a defensive tackle. He had enough snaps as a pass rusher in the interior to qualify with the defensive tackles, and he was the second best in the sport over the weekend when it comes to getting after the passer that way. So I think that's two of the big takeaways from the game is just, hey, finally, the superstars that we've invested in, that we're planning to build around here in terms of Micah and CeeDee Lamb, like they were the best versions of themselves.
I mean, if I'm Washington right now, I'm thinking when we play the Cowboys, we're running even less. The way that he hit Jaden Daniels out of bounds in the first half, I was
tracked
like,
him.
Dude, he tracked him down.
He did track him.
You know, this is a different kind of guy when it comes to pursuit like that. How about Chauncey Golston? Is he gonna make a career out of this, or is it just
player.
A flash game? Good player?
Yeah, I mean, I think Chauncey Golston's been stacking up a pretty good season overall, personally. I mean, that's definitely a guy that, depending on, and with them, it always just depends on the cost, but that's a guy that, for a depth, like, serviceable, rotational piece, Chauncey Golston's a solid player.
We talked about Josh Butler in the opening segment, basically a 28-year-old rookie. Brian's verdict right now, you know, good game, good depth player to have.
Yeah.
But maybe not a guy that you want to be counting on. He certainly looked like it, though. I mean, bringing everything to the Cowboys secondary that they've desperately needed in a 4-7-5 package, pretty impressive.
I think they got caught a little bit by surprise. I hope Diggs. I'm not speaking out of turn here about Diggs.
Well, Sham said in the pregame, you could tell Sham was saying, like, dude, Diggs shows up on Saturday and basically just says, I can't play. And they're like, all right, then you're going to stay home. Like, I don't think they were anticipating not having Diggs there for sure.
You mentioned yesterday, just real quick, I looked up the metrics on this. Turpin wasn't the fastest player yesterday for the Cowboys.
Wow.
Would somebody like to guess who the fastest player? It's a defensive back.
That was Wanye?
Nope.
Was it Butler?
Nope.
No, it couldn't have been Butler. Bland?
Nope. Jordan Lewis.
Oh, Jordan Lewis.
Jordan Lewis had a max speed of 21.52 miles per hour. Turpin was 21.35.
What was that on the trying to chase down McLaurin?
I'll find out what the play was, but he covered yesterday. Guess how many yards he covered Jordan Lewis in that football game yesterday? Just it's a pretretty high number.
I mean, 1,500.
It's 1,000. 1,060. Okay. He ran 1,000 yards yesterday. It's funny how they break this thing down. He walked 189 yards. He jogged 152 yards. He ran 480 yards. He sprinted 239.15 yards is what he did.
Wow. What a beast, dude. So happy he's
still
around.
These chips in these guys' shoulder pads,
they're awesome.
They track them everywhere they go.
Brock Hoffman and TJ Bass got a star up. Donovan Wilson, our guy Eric Kendricks, who will join us Thursday at 5 o'clock.
No, Tuesday. He'll join
tomorrow.
Us Tuesday.
Oh, Tuesday.
Yeah,
that's
Tuesday.
Right.
Yeah, Tuesday.
Game day on Thursday. All righty, we're live at Shell Shack here in Arlington. Swing on by, have something to eat and drink, and make sure you get entered to win. Dinner for four here at Shell Shack. Everybody between now and 7 o'clock that comes on in will be entered to win, and that's up to a $100 value. Okay, it is time for Krusty's Corner. Brian, where are you taking
it? Yeah, I'm going to fill you in on some more things I saw on this Commander's tape. We'll do that next.
Lucius, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. And we are live at Shell Shack in Arlington, right off 30. Can't miss us. And we'd love to see you. If you come in now, in between now and 7 o'clock, enter to win dinner for four here at the Shack, valued up to $100. It's time, though, for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king, Brian.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. The tape was actually pretty cool to watch today. You know, when you win a game like that, you know, you kind of like.
Did you think about just fast forwarding to the last 5 minutes?
No. I mean, because I'm going to start off with the miss that Tolbert had. You remember, it, like when they ran the third down play, then they got the field goal blocked the next play.
Yes.
That play right there should have been a big time play. That's got to be a catch that needs to be. You're going to keep the drive going. You're maybe going to punish him. Maybe going to get a touchdown out of this. And the thing that bothers me, this was a play that they ran earlier in the season by with Cooks for a first down. And he trailed. They ran the tight end. They ran Ferguson in that time. They ran Ferguson up the field. And Cooks went in behind him and then ran the slant. And they were able to hit it. Dak hit it, and they got a first down out of it.
Yes,
it's a really good design, and it's a way to get a guy open on separation. I'm giving McCarthy a little credit this time around on it because I thought he went back to it, and it, like I say, it was a play they ran earlier, and Tolbert should have caught this ball, but this time they used Spanford instead of Ferguson as the pick. And Spanford, I felt like he needed to run the route a little bit more vertically. And instead, he took it a little bit wider, and that gave the defender the opportunity to get on to Tolbert. But still, Tolbert's got to find a way to catch that football. I mean, that ball was on his hands. But if Spanford, just a rookie, if he runs that route a little bit more vertical, I think you get the separation you need. It then maybe becomes a little bit easier of a catch for Tolbert. That was a bad drop, I felt like, on his part right there, because they could have got the first down and kept the drive going right there. I mentioned the field goal block. The Commanders saw something in Dallas's protection here, guys, because when Martin, the safety, he jumps over the leg of BB while Schoonmaker's blocking to the outside. So my experience of when you're the wing on special teams or from field goal blocks is you block inside, then out. You go inside, out. And that way it usually kind of takes everything. It takes that rusher away. You're trying to keep the furthest guy from the ball. You know, if he wants to free run it, it's going to take him a little bit longer to get there. But if you have inside rush like that they had like with Martin, but he jumps right over the leg. There's like a natural gap there. So the thing that bothered me about that was that it just gave him that clear path. And if you watch later on, Schoonmaker and then BB interlock legs at the end. You know, the other field goal attempts you watch, that first time they were apart, which allowed Martin to jump. The next time they were interlocked, mm-hmm. And so Martin, and they couldn't get the field goal. They couldn't get him over. You know, they tried it a couple more times, but they did a little bit better job of handling that on that side. So, just a technique problem, flaw, something that the Commanders saw that if they could get Schoonmaker to go a little bit wider. And then BB to block down, that was going to create a natural gap, and that's what they got. But a little bit, like I say, a little bit later on, the adjustments the Cowboys made were Schoonmaker and BB were interlocked there. But a really nice job of that. This one, the Dowdle fumble. I want to kind of talk about this one, if I could, a little bit. I could put a little bit of blame on BB for this one, okay? Because Bass pins his guy to the outside while Hoffman gets his guy pinned to the inside, okay? And BB is on Wagner, and I don't understand why BB's going at Wagner. Then all of a sudden he turns to his right and allows Wagner to just have a free run. If BB stays on his path, that's going to be a big gain right there. That's going to be a nice, sizable gain. And even, you know, if you look at Dowdle, he's got both hands on the ball. Mm-hmm. But if they get that block, if somehow they could get BB up on, and he's going right at Wagner, but he veers to his right, and he's trying to like secure like the down, like the tackle. Yeah. No, go get that linebacker. That's just inexperience right there. But you know, good job by. You know, Wagner.
Wagner did a nice job going to the left a little bit. Yeah. BB almost was like, okay, you're like moving yourself out of the play. But Wagner was just going left to immediately go back right.
Yeah, but BB kind of veers to his right. And I'm like, bro, just get up on him.
Yeah.
And you've got that man, that's going to be a really, really good play. Okay, the punt block. This is a deep snapper's nightmare here, guys. Payne and Newton, they're going to drive Sieg back into anger. Okay. And what happens is Wanye Thomas has just got to sacrifice himself for this. He's just got to sacrifice. He's got the opportunity here to kind of just throw his body in. Now, You just make these guys run over you. Sieg, that's what Sieg was trying to do, the snapper. He's like, just, you know, he got driven.
He's got no choice.
He's got no choice. I mean, the best thing he could have done at that point as a former snapper, fall down. Just fall down and make the guys trip over you. But they drove him all the way. Wanya Thomas doesn't help him here. Wanya kind of gives him a little hand check over there. But the damage done. He's got to throw his body in there and make those linemen run over him and maybe trip to get to the ball. But unfortunately, they didn't get that. I think this is another scouted situation with the Commanders. They saw, hey, if we could run Sieg the center all the way back, and they didn't cover him. They just went. They went like they lined up on the outside of him, and then they just went to the middle and they drove him all the way to the ball.
Almost had a butt punt situation.
Yeah, drove him all the way to the ball.
It was crazy. Yeah, never
very,
quite
very
seen
close.
That.
Yeah. Okay. Here's a positive play, Dawson. You brought up the fake toss and the pass to Span Ford.
Loved it.
Really good design here. They faked the toss. They had a toss sweep, but they got big yards earlier in that game.
Yeah.
And they fake it to Elliott at this one. They faked the toss to Elliott. And then Frankie Louvu and then Wagner, the linebackers, they step forward. They're thinking, okay, play action here. Okay, ball's coming downhill. They've run this toss.
So they're giving it to Zeke again. Let's go, yeah, TFL yeah, time.
Exactly. But Span Ford, this allowed Span Ford to get between the two safeties. So it's just a really kind of a simple pitch and catch there, but really good design. That's what running the football. All of a sudden, you fake the toss. It gets the linebackers to step up. They get space behind. So really nice job there. Tolbert's touchdown. This is a really nice design out of bunch formation that I saw.
Yeah, I loved it.
Schoonmaker and Lamb routes open things up. They got the bunch. They got three guys on one side. But the routes, like I say, Schoonmaker's and Lamb's routes kind of cause a little bit of confusion with the Commander's secondary. And he's able to work up into the end zone and on the cornerback there, Stansterill, for the Commanders. And so he's up into the end zone. Stansterill's trying to come through him to get to the ball, but, man, he's got him blocked off pretty well. But what happened is the routes by the three guys allowed it to open up, and it created that seam to allow Tolbert to get in there, and then Cooper Rush to get him the football. Nice job of picking up everything around that, and then, boom, there's your touchdown right there.
Couple of nice designs yesterday.
Couple
of
nice
designs. Passing game.
Yep. Holding on Guyton. Okay, I thought this was a really, really rough call.
Bad call.
Okay.
I agree.
This is because Jean Baptiste, the defensive end, he is off balance.
Yeah.
I mean, he is literally stumbling. He's stumbling to
the – They bailed him out.
They're stumbling to the quarterback there, and he's going to the ground. And Guyton just pushes him to the ground. Guyton's like, okay, bro, you're going to go down. I'm just going to shove you to the ground. And, you know, he didn't throw him on the ground or just sling him to the ground. He just took his hands and pushed the guy to the ground. And next thing you know, the result, that took a first down off the board.
It did.
Yeah,
that
was
CD first down. And CD battled to get that first.
He absolutely battled to get that first. All right. How about Guyton being too deep? Yes.
That one's annoying.
He was too deep.
You told him all week what was going to happen. These refs were looking at that like crazy.
We talked about this. Trey Blake's crew was calling this thing during games. Guyton appears to be in the same level as Lamb, who's in the slot. So if you look at it down the line, he's that far back. And so, you know, that's a pretty simple call. You know, shame it brought back another big play, you know, from there, from the Cowboys. I want to talk about the Golston interception here. Mm-hmm. Dawson, later in the day, am I going to have some time? Are we
Oh, yeah, you want
Dude,
it?
You got
later,
much
okay,
time,
later,
bro.
Yeah, later. I got some.
Krusty's Corner 2.0.
Okay, so I got another couple minutes I know here. All right. Golston's interception, okay? This is really, really a nice pre-snap adjustment by Overshown, okay? And I felt like during this game, when you watch the tape, Zimmer did a good job of confusing Daniels a little bit with some of his reads. There were some looks that he was able to give, the rotation of some of the coverage, moving guys up, moving guys back. This is one, I think, that really that caught Daniels by surprise. Because Overshown's playing as an outside linebacker or an off-ball linebacker. And then all of a sudden before snap, he's going to walk up from inside linebacker to walk up to outside edge on the right side. Daniels, I don't think, sees him, but Daniels feels him. So here they are. They're going to try and run the screen, And so here you are. You're getting the pressure from the backside. The Cowboys are going to try and run. Golston and Mozzie Smith are on a twist stunt. So what's happening is Mozzie's going to the outside. Golston's coming to the inside. Well, it kind of gets a little clogged up. But Golston starts to go flat. And that's what kind of carried him into the – so he was rushing on the twist stunt, never really got up the field, but stayed flat. And it took him right into the path of where Robinson was the running back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the ball goes up, boom, there it is in his hands. He's got the interception. So really, really nice job. I don't think it was something that was planned, but the pressure from Overshown on the backside really sped up Daniels to have to get rid of that football. And then Golston on the twist, being a smart player, like, I can't get home. He just plays down the line of scrimmage. He sees the screen. He's right there to make the play. So really, really good job with that taken care of. So I'll have some more time later on. I got a bunch more plays I want to get into.
Nice.
And we'll do that later.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank
it's
you.
A victory. Cowboys Monday in Arlington, less than a mile from AT&T Stadium. Come see us here at Shell Shack. Coming up next, Chief, what do we got?
Who had it worse this weekend between these two football guys, and how to fix a hurt ankle, according to Ocho Cinco?